Welcome back to this second hour of Leading Edge Medicine. Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only. Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians, all while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you the opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here are your hosts for Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat, along with their co-host, Lynette Morgan.
Welcome back. This is Leading Edge Medicine, hour number two. And of course, Leading Edge Medicine every week is brought to you by Longevity Medical Clinics. And that is where Dr. Mixon comes into play, because you have been a part of this since the very, very, very beginning. It's your clinic.
It's mine. In fact, I created it.
Yes, so. You did. Yes, you did. And we are in, year 26 now?
Yeah.
Pretty much.
1998.
Okay.
So this is the 25th year.
Wow. Okay. Well, we are still offering that health analysis appointment, and it's so important. Dr. Mixon, why did you decide to do a health analysis appointment, a free one, in order to get some information from some of our folks?
Well, mostly it was a way to introduce people to two things. A, what the degree of their risk is, because many people believe that the symptoms they are experiencing are normal. And
well, that's what they've been told.
Yes,
from their
and because they are normal, they must be, you know, something that is innocuous. But normal doesn't mean safe or innocuous. You know, as you age, you get sick from a ever increasing number of things that cripple or kill you. And so what we want to do is to let people see what degree of risk they've got. And if they are at significant risk, to offer them then a larger panel of tests that will let us narrow it down and tell us pretty much what we have to do about their risks.
Mm.
Then, once they've got the information, they're in a position to make a rational decision about do they want to become a patient at Longevity or not. And if they do, we love to help them. But if their goal in life is to get slow, fat, weak, dumb, and sexless, then, you know, they're in charge of their life, and they're allowed to go the way they want to go.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's a matter of priorities.
And it's a choice. And we want to get you in, so at least you have some information to start with to know what you're at risk for. And it's just two tests, right, Dr. Mixon, a blood test. And what does that show?
Well, the blood test is basically a hemoglobin A1C. It tells us what percentage of the red blood cells have been damaged by sugar thus far.
Mm.
The higher the percentage of red cells that have been damaged, the faster your brain is shrinking, the more likely you are to develop peripheral neuropathy, altered sensation in your feet and legs. The higher that is, the faster you're going to see your joints degenerating and your risk of cardiovascular disease is rising. So A1C is kind of an important test. Then we're going to do a physical test that's actually going to measure the amount of fat versus muscle in each of your extremities and in your torso. And that fat to muscle ratio, once more, gives us a good idea of what your future holds, because muscle is the currency of aging.
You want the muscle.
The less muscle you've got, the faster you go downhill.
Okay.
The higher the percentage of body fat, the faster you go downhill. People need to realize that fat and muscle are not a cosmetic issue for a doctor. We are not concerned about your beach body. We really don't care about that. What we're worried about is the visceral fat, the fat in your torso, is producing about 80 different compounds that accelerate the development of heart disease and dementia and diabetes and degenerative spine and joint disease. And muscle is producing over 300 things we now refer to as myokines, myos meaning muscle. And the myokines are 300 things produced by working muscle.
Wow.
That help you to grow new brain cells, that help you to grow new bone and muscle and to enhance your immune system so you find and kill cancers more efficiently. So, you know, that ratio of fat to muscle in your extremities and your torso is extremely important.
And it's a quick test, too. You get on a machine with your clothes on, because I had wondered. You have all your clothes on. You just take your shoes on. Yeah.
Yeah, you have to have bare feet and bare hands.
Yep.
But basically, it gives us a very good number and lets us know what your percentage of body fat and muscle mass and so on are. It's fast, it's easy, it's non-invasive, doesn't hurt, and it's free.
And it's free.
So why not?
Why not? And what are you waiting for? Sign up for the free health analysis appointment. Let's see what's going on with your body and see what you're at risk for. Our operators can actually take your phone call right now at 866-86-YOUNG. That's 866-86-YOUNG. Or if you'd rather grab your phone or jump on the computer, you can go to lmclinic.com. LM Clinic stands for for Longevity Medical Clinic. And you can get your information there as well. Push the button that says free health analysis appointment. Look at the calendar, pick the day, the time, even the clinic that's closest to you. There's one in Kirkland, in Tacoma, and one in Linwood as well. And sign up and you are ready to go. It's what we call the free health analysis appointment. We want to see you in here. And just like Larry, who called a bit ago, who's been with us for 15 years, we want to see you getting healthy and stronger. What is that, Dr. Mixon?
Stronger, faster, leaner, smarter, sexier, which will make you happier.
Yes. The number again, 866-86-YOUNG, or go to lmclinic.com, and you can do that right now. All right, back to the phones. We are going to stay right here in Seattle. We have Robert on the line. Hi, Robert.
Hi, thank you. I have a question about knee pain. I've had pain in my knees for the last 2 years. So the doctor, the x-ray said medial and patellofemoral compartments with joint space narrowing and small osteophytes, small joint effusion, which the doctor basically said that's arthritis. So I don't want stem cells. There's a cost issue with that. But about 10 days ago, I got PRP injections in both my knees. I've been not walking or exercising much since then. I don't know whether I should, but I'm having some relief. In other words, when I put my pants on, lift my right leg up high to get in that pant leg, used to be a lot of pain, and now there's almost none. So that's pretty good. And they told me when I had the injection, if it works pretty good, you know, we maybe do it every 6 months to a year. But if it doesn't work, they said they would give me either a nerve block or a cortisone injection. I guess my question is, will the nerve block, if it takes care of the pain and I go out and I begin to be able to jog again, am I harming my bones, my knees, though I feel no pain because of the block, but I'm jogging and using the joint? Does that damage things?
Yeah, no, it's a good question, Robert. So the nerve block, now I'm not sure what they mean by nerve block. Sometimes we do something called a genicular nerve block. That's a temporary diagnostic thing, but the pain will come back because that's a prelude to doing something else like a radiofrequency ablation procedure. Anything we do that will decrease pain from the knee. So it's a great question. Will I hurt myself because I can't feel that I'm doing damage? And the answer is not really, because we do radiofrequency ablations throughout in the spine, in the neck, low back, knees, other places. I've never seen, so bottom line, if you do something that really hurts, your body will still feel the pain. So it just hasn't been an issue. It's theoretically, yeah, a concern. In real clinical practice, not a concern at all.
Here's the issue from my standpoint. You need microtrauma to heal.
Yes.
Okay. The people whose joints break down the fastest are the ones that become sedentary. Mm-hmm. If you don't use the joint, it degenerates much faster than if you are using the joint.
Correct. Correct.
So, you know, don't take up, jumping off rooftops or something and traumatizing the hell out of it. But walking, moderate amounts of jogging and so on, those are actually going to stimulate healing.
Right. Right.
Okay. Well, I can't jog, but I do walk 12,000 steps a day usually in pain, but I go ahead and do it.
Yeah.
I guess my last question is, I was interested in the NALU nerve stimulation. How do you spell NALU? And is, I have procedure done. I suppose it's very expensive.
NALU, N-A-L-U, I guess it's a Hawaiian term for wave, as I understand it. That's where they got the name. It is typically covered by medical insurance, including Medicare. We have to do a trial first. And these are usually in severe, this is not somebody with a few aches and pains. It's somebody with severe intractable knee pain before we'd consider. We'd probably do a genicular nerve block as a test. Then you do a trial where you put temporary electrodes into around the knee. And you take it for a test ride, essentially. Hmm. Take those out, and if you got good pain relief, then we would go for the permanent implant. So I'm not sure if it would be just for a little bit of creaking arthritis-type pain, but, not knowing any more about your situation, Robert. I would stick with the PRP. The PRP seems to be working. The only thing about PRP is, typically it needs to be repeated, right? So the top-shelf item is stem cell. We do stem cell and PRP combination, but before we had stem cell available for a clinic like ours, I've been doing PRP for 30 years. About 20 years. So, and it's very useful for a lot of areas, but for large joints, stem cell definitely is superior in my opinion. But we have a lot of people that do pretty good with PRP in for knee pain, shoulder pain, hip pain. So not a bad choice at all.
Yes, it's been 10 days. I had noticed some improvement. I haven't stressed it yet. How long out? I know I'm sure everybody's different, but how long have you noticed that people continue to improve improvement after PRP? Is it longer than 10 days? Up to a month?
Oh, yeah. With PRP, it could take up to 90 days to get the effect. So that's why... biologically, everybody's different. People respond. I've had people who had pain relief the next day after a PRP injection. But that's unusual. And PRP has a very positive anti-inflammatory effect.
That's right. Yeah, but the initial anti-inflammatory effect with PRP is almost instantaneous.
Right.
So that's right up front. It will give you good relief within the first day or two, three at the most. But then after that, those platelets, as they rupture, they've been injected into a foreign area, and now they start, they break apart, and they release 9 different growth factors. And it's those growth factors that are being released by the ruptured platelets that are causing the healing to take place. And that's where he's saying that can take 3 months or so.
Right.
Because the healing is a slower process, especially in old folks. Young folks turn over tissue much quicker, and old folks, our tissue turns over slower, so it takes longer to see how much healing and repair you're going to get. But sometimes you'll get some healing and repair, and then you need another PRP injection to continue the process. So, generally you're talking 6 months or so, but I have seen papers with guys that are doing it in 3 to 4 months just because they get some improvement, but not enough to be really comfortable, and they'll go back and put another set in 3 months or so.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then watch it for a second 3 months.
Can I really stress the knee? Can I go back to my walking 12,000 steps a day now, or should I hold off?
We would give you a handout that basically marches you through the recovery process. We I can't remember off the top of my head, but 3 days, we want you to take it easy. Day 4 to 14, start increasing activity. 14 to whatever it is, 30 days. So just a graduated increase in activity.
Okay.
Personally, there's people who can run marathons in their 90s, but I personally am not a big fan of running in people over the age of 50 because it's that impact, that axial loading of the knee and the other joints. It's hard on the joints. So I think walking's totally fine. Swimming, recumbent bike, those things are where I would emphasize getting your cardiovascular exercise.
And what about red light therapy or heat after this procedure? Should I put a warm heating pad on these knees or use a red light machine?
Yeah, actually, warmth works better than the cold. You know, if you get an acute injury and you put ice packs on it, that decreases the blood supply and decreases the swelling. But it also slows the healing. Mm-hmm. And the warm packs, the increased warmth, dilates the blood vessels and brings better nutrition into the joint and gives it a better chance to heal. So, yes.
So it won't hurt the stem cells.
It won't hurt. Well, the, no, no, no. I mean, it's not going to. No. Because you're.
PRP.
No, it's not going to hurt the PRP. In fact, the idea is you want those that PRP, the cells to rupture and release the growth factors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, I'll put a heating pad on it then. I thank you for answering all those questions, taking the time to do that. I appreciate that.
Take care, sir.
All right, thank you for the call, Robert. Back to a break, and then when we come back with Leading Edge Medicine, more of your calls for Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Dan Nelson from Pro Ortho. And if you're listening to the program and you're like, okay, I need to get into Dr. Dan Nelson, I'd like to make an appointment and have him look at my aches and pains and what's going on with me. Here's the number to reach Dr. Dan Nelson and his staff at Pro Ortho. That number is 425-823-4000. How easy is that? 425-823-4000. We're back with more Leading Edge Medicine in just a moment. Stay right there.
Take it easy. Take it easy. Don't let the sound of your own wheels drive you crazy. Lighten up while you see.
And we're back. This is Leading Edge Medicine. My name is Lynette. Glad to be here with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Dan Nelson live in the studio. And we have quite a few calls that we have had all morning on a variety of things. But if specifically you have neck pain or knee or back, we have the pain doctor here with us, Dr. Dan Nelson, along with Dr. Jerry Mixon. So here's the number to get through with your questions. We have room for you on the line right now, 800-465-8770. That's 800-465-8770. We are headed north to Stanwood. Chris, good morning. Thank you for your patience on the line.
Oh, you're welcome, and thank you for taking my call. This is for Dr. Nelson. For years, I've had hip issues, right hip issues, and even as a young person, I couldn't sleep on that side for very long without being in immense pain. I'm 69 now. Anyway, back in 2000, and I had consulted with a surgeon, a hip specialist, to see if I could get a remedy for this. But at that time, apparently, there weren't that serious issues with an MRI and radiograph. But it has progressed, and it culminated in an accident back in 2015, and tore the labrum. And then I learned I have hip dysplasia and was sent to a specialist, and he said, why did your doctor send you to me? You're bone on bone. You need a total replacement. So I was referred to a surgeon and had a hip replacement, which I was thrilled to pieces because the pain was gone and that. But the surgeon recommended that every time I go to the dentist to have antibiotics, a prescription of antibiotics. And I did the first go round with my dentist, but he has declined to prescribe antibiotics thereafter because he says it's not effective after so many months, 6 months after surgery and that. So I had the surgery in 2016 and I haven't had prescriptions of antibiotics since the first dental visits. I don't have real issues with my jaw, you know, or with my teeth or anything, just regular cleaning and no hardly any tartar. But my question is, should I be, what is your opinion on the antibiotic use? I went back to my surgeon and said, well, my dentist won't prescribe them for me. And he would you? And he said, no, your dentist needs to do this. And so I'm kind of between a rock and a hard spot. And this has been going on for years. Consequently, or move forward, I did great with my hip for years. 2016 with the implant. The last couple of years, I've have a inflamed or a burning feeling in my hip and butt and that. And if I'm just going, what is going on? What's my next approach?
Okay,
does
so
that
this
make any sense?
Sure. Yeah, the antibiotic thing first. Let's address that. I think I'm not sure where that falls. If the dentist typically prescribe for, you know, dental procedure, prophylactic antibiotics. I'm just not aware who does that. I mean, ultimately, you might want to go back to your primary care doctor and say, hey, can I get some antibiotics prior to the dental work? I still think that's a good idea. It sounds like the orthopedic doctor thinks so as well. That's kind of weird. So right now, which hip is it that you're having this burning?
It's the right hip.
And this is the one you had the total.
Yes.
This is the one you
had
total hip.
Yes. And okay. For the first few years, I mean, I recovered very quickly,
right.
And no problems in that. But now there's a burning sensation. And when I do have dental work, it's just once a year for a cleaning.
Right.
And there's no issues with my gums or anything like that.
Right.
So I haven't been too concerned about it, but at the same time, I get two different, you know, directions there.
That's when I can't give you a defined answer. The antibiotic thing,
right.
I think it has to be figured out one way or the other. Where is the burning pain that you're having in your right hip?
Well, it seems to be the whole left side there, and it seems to be, I know there's, it can't be a joint pain, but I'll say muscles, tendons, ligaments around.
So when you say, Chris, when you say side and the hip, when people say hip pain, they're all over the place. But if you hang your arms down to your side and your arm touches where your arm hangs, is that where you're talking about, the very lateral aspect of the hip? Is that where it's burning?
It is, but the most burning, it's a tightness on that side more than anything. The burning in that is posterior and actually down my leg some, too.
Okay. How far down the legs does it go?
Halfway between my knee and hip.
Okay.
My knee.
So the first thing comes to mind is something called trochanteric bursitis. That's a very common condition. That's kind of on the outside of the hip. The greater trochanter area is where the femur takes a little angle to go towards the hip joint. So, and that there, you have a bursa there. A bursa is a flat sac that helps lubricate the muscles as it slides over the bone there. But bursitis, you know, that's a common thing, and it can get inflamed and be very, very disabling. So that's the first thing. The other thing I'd be concerned about, if it's going down, is it going down, the pain, the burning going down your butt cheek, you said, into halfway between your hip and your knee? Is that what I heard?
Yeah. Yes. There's butt pain, and it goes down, engulfs my buttock there. But the burning on the lateral side then does go down halfway to my knee.
Yeah, so I'm still thinking trochanteric bursitis. There could be, with the other thing, how about just sitting? Does sitting cause pain in the in kind of like your buttocks area, posterior thigh at all?
Well, it's chronic. I mean, it's there 24/7.
Okay.
And does it cause pain? No, it's already there.
Okay. But it doesn't make it worse. It's everything there.
So
the other thing that could be going on is you could have some sciatic pain. Classically, sciatic pain means pain going down your, you know, anywhere from your back all the way down to your foot. But sometimes people get partial sciatica where it goes halfway down. So that would be a concern. The first thing I would do besides, you know, examining you and one, and for the bursitis is maybe an X-ray to look at your spine, ultimately an MRI to see if you have. I mean, we do things in the office on under exam that would probably give me a pretty good idea, but this okay. we talked earlier today about hip pain versus back pain, and sometimes there's a lot of overlap in trying to sort that out. I mean, that's kind of what we do. So I think one of those two things would be at the top of my list there, Chris.
Okay. So make an appointment.
That's kind of what you'd have to do, I think.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. On the radio, we are limited.
Pretty limited.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you, and I'll probably be giving your office a call.
I'm pretty sure we could help you, Chris, but we'd have to see you in person.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Okay. Yeah, and my main question was about the antibiotics. What is your opinion? You recommend it?
As far as I know, is it still recommended? I think so. And what it's very, very, very low risk to taking an antibiotic compared to getting a total hip infection or a total hip arthroplasty that's now infected. That would be a disaster.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, and that's been on my mind. Okay, well, thank you.
You are welcome.
Thank you for the call, dear.
Yes, thank you, Chris. This is the number to get through, 800-465-8770. We're going to go to break just a bit early. We've got Lynn on the other side of this break and Cindy, too. So stay right there, and if you've got a question, now's the time to call. Don't wait until the last few minutes of our show. 800-465-8770. We'll be right back. This is Leading Edge Medicine.
Race is on and here comes pride in the backstretch. Heartache going to the inside. My tears are holding back there. I'm trying not to fall. My heart's out of the running. Two love scratch for another sake. Race is on and it looks like heartaches. And the winner loses all.
Leading Edge Medicine. My name is Lynette here with two amazing doctors. We have Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Dan Nelson, our pain specialist in the studio. It seems like we've had a lot of folks calling about this and that. So here is our next caller from Seattle. We have Lynn. And Lynn, good morning. How can we help you?
Good morning. Well, I have tendonitis in my elbow and it doesn't bother me very much, probably more at night than any time. It bothers me at the elbow area, the forearm, and in my hand, the top of my hand. But most of the time I can do most anything and not have it irritated. You know, I can even do yoga and lap swimming. So my question is it okay not to treat it? Can I just continue to ignore it? I've actually had it since about May.
Yeah. So, Lynn, when we're talking about the elbow, you're kind of got the outside of the elbow and then you've got kind of the inside bone part of it. Would this be on kind of the outside of your elbow?
Well, from what I looked up, it's the tennis elbow. It's that upper bone.
Yeah. So that's
top.
We call that lateral epicondylitis, tennis elbow. It's kind of an overuse syndrome, and it can happen. I mean, somebody can get it just by lifting something wrong, and it can be very irritating. And usually we do the conservative things like, you know, maybe a little therapy, wearing a brace, that kind of stuff. And if it doesn't get better, then we got to start getting more aggressive. I might do one cortisone injection to try to knock down the inflammation. Sometimes that's all people need, but I wouldn't do any more than one cortisone injection because you're not going to get any additional benefit if it comes back, and you're only going to potentially weaken that ligament, those extensor tendons that go to the bone. This is called an enthesopathy. It's where the tendons that insert onto the bone is where that inflammation, they get little micro tears. Mm-hmm. And Dr. Mixon, you're going to say something.
Well, I just say that simple, you called it a brace, but it's basically just a little band that goes
Correct.
Around the forearm just below the elbow.
Mm-hmm.
And it puts a little bit of compression there. And from the outside, it's then taking some of the stress off that tendon that is inflamed.
Correct.
And so just wearing that very simple little band around the forearm just below the elbow is often enough to give you significant relief.
Might be all you need. Now, just to continue that conversation, if it lingers and it gets annoying and you have a cortisone shot, like I said, that might, and you, but you've tried everything else. Okay, we don't stick needles in people unless you've tried everything non-invasively.
Well, the other relatively non-invasive thing that occurs to me for this, too, is a ketoprofen cream.
Yeah, KetoCam, I think.
KetoCam, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a mixture of ketoprofen and piroxicam, which is where the KetoCam comes from. And these are two non-steroidal anti-inflammatories, and they can actually be made in a cream that you can apply to that area, and it just decreases the inflammation. But it's safer than the steroid injections.
Right.
The steroid injections are very potent anti-inflammatories, but they weaken the tendon.
Right.
And these things are less potent anti-inflammatories, but they don't weaken the tendon.
Right.
So my first step would be to put that little elbow band on, mm-hmm. and then get a little KetoCam cream to apply to the elbow.
The other thing I'll just add to that is if I do a cortisone injection, I'm using probably anywhere from a tenth to a twentieth of the dose that most doctors are using, because you don't need what it comes in a vial. When triamcinolone, for example, comes in a 40-milligram vial, doesn't mean you have to use all 40 milligrams.
No.
You can use 5 milligrams and get the same effect without inducing all the badness of the cortisone, the effects on the connective tissue. The other thing I'll add is, just for people out there who have already tried that and the cortisone hasn't worked, again, I would only do one low-dose cortisone. PRP is an excellent. Mm-hmm. Platelet-rich plasma is an excellent. And the studies support, and the level one studies say that's probably the best treatment for intractable medial or lateral epicondylitis. So the medial side, that's golfer's elbow, and the lateral side is tennis elbow. So that's...
Wow.
That's where we get those terms. But good call, Lynn. We appreciate it.
So just to clarify, you don't recommend just ignoring it like I have been because it doesn't bother me that much. It will exacerbate the problem over time. So I should start with the band, go to the KetoCam, and then...
I'd start with those. And the point is, pain is nature's way of saying don't. Mm-hmm. If it hurts, it says something is wrong, and so you want to get it to heal. Okay.
Okay. Thanks very much.
All right.
Take care. Lynn, thank you for your call. All right, headed from Seattle to Tacoma, Cindy on the line, and it looks like we may be continuing the talk about metformin, Dr. Mixon. Okay. Good morning, Cindy.
Hello,
good Cindy.
Good morning. I have a question.
Okay.
I'll see
if I have an answer.
I was just given metformin, and when I look on the bottle, it says carry or wear medical ID stating you are taking it. Good heavens. Why? You wear it?
No. Well, there's a medical ID that you can wear. There are bracelets. There are necklaces. And
that say like you're penicillin allergic, and I've seen those.
Right. Yeah. And it's just that the metformin tends to lower your blood sugar, and so sometimes diabetics, especially people that are type ones that are getting both insulin and metformin, can go into a hypoglycemic crisis. Their sugars get too low. And it helps the people in the emergency room if they know exactly what you're taking. That's really what it comes down to.
If you present unconscious to the emergency
room. Right. Yes, precisely. You know, so if you fall down in the street unconscious and the ambulance scoops you up and rushes you off to the ER and you're not able to talk to them, they can see your MedAlert bracelet and know exactly what medicines you're taking.
Okay. It also says check with your doctor before having alcoholic beverage. Well, maybe 3-4 times a year I might have one glass of wine.
It's not going to impact it. No. Yeah, it is perfectly permissible. You sound like you're my kind of drinker.
There you go. So. You're like me, Cindy.
Well, Thank you very much, because I was worried about I thought, gee, what do I have to wear just to have medicine on me?
But no, that's all it's really for. So, yeah, I discovered many years ago that I can be as seriously stupid sober as other people can be. So I don't need to be drunk to be stupid.
You don't wear bracelets.
I don't wear
bracelets. No, he doesn't have any bracelets.
My stupidity just comes naturally.
Yeah. So. No, I don't think so. No, Dr. Mixon doesn't have any of that.
Okay. Thank you for the call, young lady.
Thank you, Cindy. Thank you for your info very much.
Oh, that's a very good call. Yeah. Wow. Yeah, I only have something when I'm with my Italian family, who, of course, Uncle Gino makes the wine in his cellar still, but he knows me well enough to add 7-Up. He still adds 7-Up to it, just like they did with the little kids. And then I slip it to my husband anyway. Okay, we have room for you. 21 more minutes of our show today. If you've got a question for Dr. Mixon or Dr. Nelson, you can call right now and get right through. Phone lines are open at 800-465-8770. We're headed to West Seattle now, and we have Joan with us. Hi there, Joan. Good morning.
Hello, Joan.
Hey, good morning. Good morning. I have a question for my sister-in-law, who's not with me right now. She's in Florida. She has had migraines for years and years, and currently she's taking a once-a-month injection for them, which seems to lessen them to some extent. Mm-hmm. But I noticed when she was visiting that as a storm was approaching, she would come down with one. And they have so many storms in Florida.
Oh, yeah.
That she has them quite frequently there. Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering if there's any new research on this.
Right. Dan, are you aware of new research on migraines? It's not an area that I follow very closely.
So. Yeah, no, I've got I had somebody, a friend text me the other day about a particular type of migraine. It's not my area of expertise. I know there's new medications coming out all the time. In fact, I end up doing a little research, but it's kind of outside my area of expertise. I think it's the newest one. It's called a new something new, not Nucor, but like a GLP-1 antagonist, which is not a true triptan per se. So I don't know. I wish I had more information.
And I love that you're looking at me, Dr. Nelson. I wish I had the answer for you, but I don't
know. I'm just looking at you.
I know nothing. That's right.
This is really out.
Just gazing into the distance, and you're the distance.
There we are. So. Yes, yes.
This is an area that I don't follow.
I... You do go to there is like a National Headache Foundation or something, and they have all kinds of information. I think that's what they're called. And, they're basically an advocacy group for people with headaches and migraines. So
20 years ago, I used to go to their meetings back when I was country doctoring. They were a great organization. They put on some very good meetings, but I'm 20 years out of date on it. So the newest stuff is... And migraine is way beyond me. I'm sorry about that, dear.
Yeah, there's people. Okay. There's doctors who specialize just in migraines. Yeah. I mean, neurologists typically, but that's all they do is headaches and migraines. So it's really a specialty all to itself.
Yep. Mm. Okay. I wonder. Well, I wonder if this is something that CRISPR technology will take care of in the future.
Probably. Because migraine does tend to run in families. I don't think it follows the classic Mendelian genetics, but there is a familial trait. My mother was a migraineur, and she would get these horrible headaches that would put her in bed for 3 days at a time.
That's my best friend. Yeah. She's missed out on so much life because of her migraines, and she's tried everything.
And I had migraines as a child.
Oh, wow.
I would miss school with these absolutely blinding headaches that would last a day and sometimes two. But then somewhere around 17, 18 years old, it just went away.
Wow.
And I've never had a headache since. I do rarely, once or twice a year, I get an aura. Where suddenly it looks like I'm looking through running water. Mm. So it's a visual pre-migraine aura, but it has never really turned into a headache. And I have not had a real headache for, well, now, what, 55, 58 years? So,
Wow. The medication I was trying to think of earlier is called Nurtec, N-U-R-T-E-C, endorsed by none other than Lady Gaga. Apparently, she takes this medication for her. You know who Lady Gaga is, right? She takes it for her migraine headaches, apparently.
I see, and it makes her go, Gaga.
But it gives you an awesome voice,
too. It's not a triptan. It's like a GLP-1 antagonist, or one of those things that I, you know.
Nurtec.
Anyway.
Nurtec, N-U-R-T-E-C.
N-U-R-T-E-C, and it's an oral dissolvable tablet, apparently. But I don't know anything if you have to take it every day. So their claim to fame is that it can treat migraines acutely, but also is prophylactic.
Help prevent them.
To help prevent. Yeah. So probably take it on a daily basis, so you can use it both for acute treatment but also to prevent migraine headaches. So
Okay.
Well, that's something.
You taught us something today.
Thank you.
We all learned something there.
All right. Yes, thanks for the call.
Yes, thank you, Joan.
Thank you.
Taking a break right now and back with a few minutes left of our show today. Kevin, we're going to get to your call in just a moment. And if you'd like to get through, we have time for maybe one more call or two. 800-465-8770. This is Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Dan Nelson in the studio. 800-465-8770. We'll be right back. It's Leading Edge Medicine, brought to you by Longevity Medical Clinics. Dr. Mixon in the studio. We also have Dr. Dan Nelson from Pro Ortho as well. All right. We are going to go south to Auburn. Kevin is on the line with a question for you, Dr. Mixon. Hi there, Kevin.
Hello, Kevin.
Hello there. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
I listen to you guys every Saturday while I'm at work. I have a quick question. So I'm 51 now, and I've been taking, Sildenafil, and I've had taken Cialis in the past, too. They basically just one day just stopped working completely. And I'm not able to get erect at all. And I've so I went to a urologist, and the urologist said that that I have type 2 diabetes, which is pretty under control and has been under control for a while. And you know, the factors, I guess, is that, you know, he's saying that, you know, I have to get it like below 7, and then somehow suddenly I'm going to get, you know, use of. I can get erections again, but I'm really close. I'm like 7.5 on my HbA1c. My regular doctor has done a really good job of working with me to get there, but so the urologist gave me a prescription for the Trimix gel because I wanted I wanted a solution for it. And I tried it, and yes, it works. The problem is that I'm really kind of looking for the long term. I don't want to be taking Trimix gel, and you know, he did not. The urologist I went to was not a fan of the Lyser like shockwave type therapy. And you know, he just says that everybody he knows doesn't think it works. And I wanted to see kind of your input on that, and also. What other factors, you know, other than taking Trimix gel, I could get back to and work in order?
Okay. Well, several things. First of all, diabetics are famous for having erectile disorders. And that's because with the diabetes, you're damaging the blood supply and you damage the nerves. So you've got two different ways to knock out erectile function, and that is neurologically and vascular. So to some degree, you know, it makes a difference in what's going on. Also, a guy of your age, if the prostate is enlarging significantly, the mechanical stretch on the nerves, if your bladder is not emptying completely, can also do enough nerve trauma to knock out your erectile function. So, you know, A, we need to make sure that you're emptying your bladder properly, and B, we need to get that blood sugar as low as we possibly can, and then C, what can we do to enhance your neurologic repair and function. So let's start with the simple stuff. How tall are you and what do you weigh?
So I'm 6 foot and I weigh 220.
Okay.
I've been taking Trulicity and Metformin for quite a while now, and I've went from 280 pounds down to 220 pounds.
Good.
In the last couple of years. So I lost a lot of weight because of the Trulicity and a little bit better diet.
Yeah. Well, and the diet and activity are going to be important, and you really need, if you're only 6 feet tall, you need to get under 200 pounds anyway. So, you know, you got another 20 pounds to go. So get busy. Okay.
Okay.
As for the shockwave therapy, the sound wave therapies, we have not done a lot of them. We started doing them a few months ago in our office for people with prostatic enlargement. We're getting good results, at least initially. What we don't know is how long the results are going to last. Okay. So we've now had a few people, and not a lot. I mean, I could probably count the number on one hand. So it's not a, you know, it's not a series of 5,000 guys that I can say, yes, this works for how long. But the people we're doing so far, after it, and it's taking, you know, 3, 4, 5, sometimes 6 treatments to get the results. But they are getting much better urination. The question in my mind is, how long will that improvement last? And, you know, if it only lasts 3 or 4 months, that's less impressive than if we're still out, you know, a year up the road. So I can't tell you how long they're going to, because we just don't have the experience yet. Ask me in 6 months, I'll tell you whether or not they're lasting 6 months, you know.
I guess the question I have is the standard ED treatments, the, you know, Sildenafil and Cialis that I've taken in the past, it worked basically to, like, one day it worked and then the next day it didn't.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then I kept trying to take it at different, you know, different intervals, and it just nothing. It just went from 100 to zero, like the one thing. And I don't know if that was some kind of something that happened.
You know, no.
Maybe with my prostate or other things.
Did they change?
Kind of scary, actually.
Did they change brands? Are the pills different?
No, it's a generic Sildenafil that's 20 milligram tablets. So I usually take the full, like, 5 tablets for 100 milligrams. And I haven't taken Cialis in a while. I used to take that.
Cialis is Tadalafil. Okay, Tadalafil is the generic name for Cialis. Cialis is the branded name. And what I would suggest you might want to consider, and I know the Cialis itself costs a lot more than the generic, but go buy the branded name for a few pills and try them and see if it works better than your generic. Not all generics are created equal. There's enormous variation in the potency of generic pills. And I've seen several guys that on one brand of a generic, they were working fine, and the next time the pharmacy filled it, it was a different generic made by a different company. And all of a sudden it didn't work, and we had him go back and get the original version, and it started working again. So... That's a possibility. Okay. I don't know that that's your issue, but that is one possibility to consider. And that's why I said, if you go out and, you know, take the financial hit and buy the Cialis, so you've got the branded, so we know the quality of the pill. If the branded pills work for you and the generics don't, then we know It's a potency issue with the medicines you're taking.
Okay. And
I've had...
Well, that's good advice.
Yeah, and I've had some guys on the generic that were taking 5 milligrams a day and had to go to 10 to get the same effect. So once more, okay. it was a potency issue. The 10 milligram worked as well as the 10 milligram of brand X worked as well as the 5 milligram of brand Y. So,
yeah. Well, with the current Willy, what I have like, that I'm taking, whether it's 20 milligrams of the Sildenafil, you know, 5 pills at once, my headaches, like headaches from it, it used to be very mild. Now it's extremely bad.
Well, see, you're talking about the Sildenafil then. And Sildenafil, yes.
Sorry.
Yeah, Sildenafil is the generic version of Viagra.
Right.
Viagra, it has the highest side effect profile of all the ED drugs, okay? So you get more headaches, more vision disturbances, more drops in blood pressure. So Sildenafil hits most of the PDEs, not just the 5, which is the one we really want. It hits 2, 11, 6, I mean, there's a whole host of them. Tadalafil is more selective than Sildenafil. So Tadalafil, which is the Cialis, Tadalafil works longer. It's got a 36-hour lifespan. And with that, I tell guys you usually start with 5 milligrams a day every day, and you can go up as high as 10 milligrams a day. And you're less likely to get the side effects with that one. And the most selective one at all, the one that gives the lowest side effects of all, is the Vildenafil. And that one is sold under, what is their brand name?
Levitra?
Levitra, yes. And Levitra is the most selective. It has the lowest side effects of all. But it's about a 10 to 12 hour lifespan. The Tadalafil, the Cialis, is a 36 hour. And the Sildenafil, the one you're using, only has about a 3 hour lifespan.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, I'm going to go try the Cialis and the Levitra. I don't think Cialis is generic yet.
Well, yeah, it is. The generic of Cialis is called Tadalafil. Tadalafil. Tadalafil.
Okay.
And Tadalafil, the generics on it are only costing like 50 cents a piece.
Yeah.
Okay. Not expensive.
Okay. Well, that's great. So I'm going to try it. The Trimex gel, it's almost, when I use it, it's almost like it's the feeling is like, it doesn't seem, I mean, I get a wreck, but there's like, I don't know, it just seems very false of an erection.
It is. And in fact, with the Trimix injections, I always joke, we can almost give an erection to a corpse with that stuff. But the quality of the sex is not as good.
Okay. Yeah, I kind of got that feeling. That's kind of why I wanted to go try to get, you know, come from the other end and try to get it so it works again. But thanks for the answering my questions, and I appreciate that. I'll get with my regular doctor and get a prescription for Cialis, and kind of go from there.
Okay, so give it a try.
Yeah,
take care, sir.
Thanks very much for your help today.
Bye-bye.
Have a great day, Kevin, and thanks for the calls. We have been busy nonstop all morning long with all of our calls, and time to say goodbye. Dr. Dan Nelson, thank you for coming in today.
Always a pleasure. Enjoy it so much.
Love it. You had a lot of painful questions there.
A lot of pain questions.
Yes.
Today, for sure.
And if you'd like to reach Dr. Dan Nelson and his team at Pro Ortho, here's that number, 425-823-4000. That's 425-823-4000. Dr. Jerry Mixon, thank you.